Hey, everybody. Welcome to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. It's great to have you along with us. It's a beautiful day, and you know, I'm just happy to be alive to see it, and I know that you are too. Got another special show lined up for you. As you know, once a month, we are very, very blessed and have the privilege to have as my special guest a brother who is a healer. I mean, when I say a healer, I mean a healer. You know, as I've been saying recently, you have a lot of people that walk around and use that term in reference to themselves. They call themselves healers, you know. It's kind of faddish now. It's kind of popular now to refer to yourself that way if, in fact, you are on a holistic health path and, you know, you might have learned a few things and you might have, you know, advised a few people. But this brother here who I'm having on my show tonight is the only brother I know who has cured another individual of cancer in three different places. And I'm talking about not just three different places at three different times. I'm talking about three different places. The individual, I let him give his testimony, but the individual had three different cancers or cancer in three different areas at the same time. But you know what's really remarkable about this testimony is that this was the very first time, the very first time that he embarked upon the healing journey, he got it right the first time. You know, there's a commercial out there. I forget what product it is. They say, we do it right the first time. Well, this brother, he did it right the first time. And I'm very, very pleased to have as my special guest King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. And again, he's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life. He comes on once a month, and we talk about a different aspect of holistic health. And so today, we're going to be talking about how to cure or how to reverse hidradenitis. I think that's how you pronounce it, hidradenitis suppurativa. Never heard of it before this week or last week. And we're going to be talking about how to reverse that if you, in fact, have it. But Brother Coy, I want to say first, welcome back to Juwanza for Life. It's great to have you back, man. As I always say, I mean, I've never met another brother or another person who's actually had the track record that you had in, I mean, on the first time. That's still remarkable. Every time I think about what you did and having done it right the first time, and I guess you really didn't have no choice but to do it right the first time. And for those who hear your testimony, they'll see why. Welcome back, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me back on the show. Good evening to your audience and to your queen and to all who's listening. I wish you a good evening, and we'll go from there.
Well, brother, again, there are people that are tuning in and hearing you for the first time. Again, as I mentioned, your track record just coming out the gate was so strong and so powerful. It actually changed two lives. It changed yours, and it changed the life of the person that you were working with. Can you tell our listeners who, because I know the phone lines are lighting up, I see people tuning in. Can you let them know how did you get started in this holistic health path?
Well, back in 1980, I was coming out of graduate school and needed a break, so I went home to see my family, and this was in Lewisburg, North Carolina. My mother and father lived there along with my sister. And when I got there, I realized that my mother was not feeling well, and she said she had just left the doctor, and he told her to go to Duke University in the morning as fast as she could. Then not thinking of anything was wrong, my dad and I got up the next morning, took up to Duke University. We sit there all day while they ran tests and looked at her. And at the end of the day, they came back and told us that they suspected she had cancer of the breast, the colon, and the liver. And they was going to keep her for a while and see what they could do for her. So after about two to three weeks, I guess, of them doing whatever they could do, they gave her an ultimatum that she would have to take chemotherapy or leave the hospital. So with that ultimatum, she asked me, what would I do if I was her? And I say, well, I guess I would, you know, just pack my bags and let's go home and be comfortable and get ready to meet our maker. So after a while, she took my advice and we went home. And then I felt a kind of an obligation to do something other than just sit there with her and watch her die.
She was willing to go home and meet her maker, huh?
Yeah, that's what she was told. That's what, you know, the doctor tell you something, that's what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
So after her being home for about a week or so, I got involved with a company called Nature Sunshine. And I learned how to heal or to what the body needs and what to do to get correct disease in the body and to what you need to take and the kind of fasting, the kind of praying, all the necessary tools we have to heal the body. I learned about those. And as I learned, I began to apply them to my mother with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, after about a month or so of that, she was seemed to be doing better. And around a month after that, around that time, the herb Pardiaco came out, and it had reputation of emptying the cancer wards in Mexico. So I got my hands on that, started giving that to her, and from there it was nothing but straight up. But at the same time that she was going through the process of accepting the disease and deciding to live, we both got involved with the healing process of fasting and juicing and, you know, doing whatever we could to make her comfortable and to convince her to keep living. After about 10 years, she lived after that, and by that time I was convinced and had three or four stores in D.C., and I was on my mission and my life's purpose, and I have been doing it ever since. So that was about 37 years ago, and I'm thankful that God has kept me and shown me what he has shown me, and I've been able to help people that want to come my way and need help. I'm glad that he's prepared me to help them, and today I'm still doing it. So
you know what's interesting to me is that when I listen to you and, you know, people like you, you know, the Dr. Watkins, the Dr. Lathans, who you, of course, know. We do workshops with
yes.
Brother Coy and Dr. Watkins and Dr. Lathan. And when I listen to people like you who actually have cured people of even diseases that doctors have said are incurable and even just reversed other conditions that, you know, that are, that the doctors don't even label as incurable, but just working with people with all kinds of ailments from, I mean, yeah, cancer is considered the big one, but, I mean, you've worked with people with diabetes, with arthritis,
yeah.
I mean, high blood
yeah.
pressure, I mean, you name
yeah.
it, you know, you've helped those that are willing to be helped, that are willing to do what is asked, what's required. And I know that for, you've seen it all. I mean, for a lot of people, if you ask the average person that has a condition, you know, do you want me to help you? You know, of course they'll tell you yes. But then the question, the next question is, are you willing to do what it
yeah.
takes? Because,
yeah.
you know, you can only help people that want to be helped, correct?
That's it. That's it. If they haven't this made up in their mind that I'm going to live no matter what the doctors say, there's not much you can do for them. They are on their way out, so all you can do is maybe pray for them. But if you really want to live and you make up your mind to live, it's like anything else. You can correct it, reverse it, turn it around, whatever you call the process of healing, you can do that.
And, you know, when you think about that, it's interesting because you have people that probably just might not have thought about it from this perspective, and that is this, that if there's not an answer for whatever ails you right now, regardless of if the doctors say that there's no cure for this, if that's true, if there's a condition out here, a disease or something that the doctors say there's no cure for, then that means that there's no God. You know, that's basically saying that there's no God, or that if there is a God, that God does not have the ability to either heal you or to show you how you can heal yourself. you know.
You are making the doctor your God if you do that. Yes. You are trusting in your doctor
good
instead
point.
Of God. That's what you do. Yeah. That's that. And we often do that unless we hear it from somebody a shade lighter than I am. We don't believe it. So we don't want to hear it, or we don't accept it. So we have to go with what's in front of us. And oftentimes we just trust in the wrong thing. It's like being superstitious or something. We believe in superstition. Yeah. And the truth can be right in front of you, but because you've never explored the truth, you'll keep doing what you've been doing. Yes.
You know, and that's a big piece right there. People don't want to stop doing what they've been doing. And, you know, for your mother to actually live 10 years after the doctors had given her 6 weeks to live, there were some changes she had to make. I mean, when you came to her and said, "Ma, look, this is a program that we're going to do," you know, although there may have been some resistance, ultimately she settled down and you were able to work with her because she was willing to go with the program that you had outlined for her, correct?
That's correct. And that's the first step. You got to want to do it. And if you don't, you're wasting your own time and the people around your time. If you're not going to accept the responsibility of healing your own self, basically, you might as well not, bother anyone else with it or try to go through some other program, because it's not going to work. Just because the doctor gives you a pill or protocol, it doesn't mean it won't work unless you believe in it. So you got to make sure that what you're believing in is the right thing. So just because I got a doctor in front of my name don't mean very much if I don't know what I'm doing. So you first got to understand who to trust and where to put your trust, and you take the effort to find out for yourself what you need to do. You know, you got to do your own study and still make your own decisions, but with the proper guidance, you can do that pretty easily. Yeah.
Well, you know, tonight, everybody, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, hidradenitis suppurativa. Again, I'd never heard of this, you know, prior to probably about a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, very interesting. I mean, it's very interesting. Again, the doctors, I'm told, don't know a lot about this. And so think about that for a second. If you have been diagnosed with this and the doctors who have told you that this is what you have, if they don't know anything about it, then, or if they know very little about it, then the odds of them giving you something, that is going to be beneficial to you in terms of your healing is going to be, you know, very remote. So tonight we're going to talk about this condition and how you can reverse it naturally. Now, when I say naturally, I mean naturally. I am a promoter of a vegan lifestyle, okay? I don't believe in eating meat. I've eaten it. I don't eat it now. I don't believe in that. And, you know, there are going to be some changes that have to be made if, in fact, you're going to cure or reverse, shall I say, this condition and or any other condition that you may have. So, again, it's called hidradenitis suppurativa. And, you know, it's interesting. As I was doing some research on it, it talks about boils. You know, you can get boils and under the armpits and, you know, different areas of your body. But just for starters, Brother Corey, because I don't want to assume everybody knows even what a boil is. I mean, you know, we've heard the term, and somebody might have had one and said, "Oh, that's a boil," but they're looking at it from the outside. What actually, when a person does have a boil, what actually has happened to the body to form that thing that is called a boil?
Well, you know, your skin is the largest eliminative organ that on the body, your skin, and when we say elimination, it has a probably millions of pores or nodules that the air goes in, and you take air in and you push air out through the skin. You eliminate a lot of water and sweat, and a lot of toxins come out through the skin. And occasionally, when the process of that happening, some of the escape nodules or some of the pores that that's in your skin, they'll get clogged. They can get clogged for a number of reasons: poor hygiene, not taking a bath, that kind of stuff. But eating meat, eating wrong, or not taking care of yourself, all of that can lead up to it, or just being overweight, or being too big, and you can't properly clean. So those places where you get these abscesses are usually the places where you get a lot of sweat, or a lot of under your arms, between your legs, on your butt, and they begin to clog. And mm-hmm. that over time, that dirt just builds up to a point to where it actually turns into like an infection, like almost a staph infection of some kind. And the body begins to feed on that, and that whole area where that boil is becomes tender, sore. It swells. It hurts. And we've heard a lot about those kind of conditions on the body. I mean, all the way back to Job in the Bible, he talked about he had boils, and throughout the Bible mm-hmm. they talk about boils. So it's a common skin condition. But believe it or not, at the time that I was helping my mother, I had the same problem. It was so bad for me, I would have to go and get them lanced and get them, after a while, you say, unless you can get that head out, there's no need to even bother them. Just let them sit. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if they get that bad, they have to cut that. It's a little whatever's inside of it, that core inside of it. You have to cut it and get that out, and then pack that area so that that pore will come back to and function normally. A hair pore or a hole in the skin that it allows elimination. And I was going through something like that because I had just been out of the military for about 10 years, and I wasn't thinking about health and didn't know much about it. Nobody had ever asked me about it. But the boils, that's something that will make you stop and think about what are you doing and how do I get rid of these things, because they are very painful and they are not enjoyable at all. So mm-hmm. during that process, with working with my mother and doing the fasting, we did the fasting, we did the juicing, we did the colon cleansing, all the things that we talk about. I noticed that even I began to get better. The boils were less frequent, and it was actually going away. And right now today, I can't tell you the last time I've had one. Occasionally, I get a bump that's funny or something, but it's nothing like the boils that I used to have back in the day. But I attribute that to the fact that I changed my diet. I stopped the dairy. I stopped the sugar. Cut back on the refined white sugar, at least. And I cleansed my body. And I was, got on a good positive diet. And started taking better care of myself. And they kind of dissipated or went away. But up until then, I was suffering with them pretty bad myself. And it's probably common occurrence between among a lot of people that still eat whatever they want to eat and live like they want to live. It's probably still a common occurrence, but today I'm telling you that if you can change the diet, clean up the body, and reverse the infections in the skin and in the blood, clean the blood, you'll find that those boils or those hydronitis pieces there become less frequent, and you'll be able to live in a much better, a much easier way. You won't get the excessive core that grows in them and the pain that comes with that if you begin to reverse and change how you live and how you eat and take better care of your body. You can correct a lot of that yourself. And in fact, till you do that, they won't correct. You can go to the doctor, they'll cut it. But after that, another month or so later, about it, they come at the same time almost all the time, and you'll find that you'll be recurring. They'll be recurring even though you're taking antibiotics and you're going to the doctor and you're getting them cut. There's nothing they can do to heal them. You have to take that upon yourself to change the way you live and to do the things that's necessary to correct the condition, to heal your body and to build your immune system to a point to where it can fight off those things. So that's a short explanation of what they are and how you get them.
Well, to the people that are listening, I see the board is lighting up with callers. If you have a question, all you have to do is press 1, and then I can bring you on, and you can ask your question. Of course, if you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. But, you know, just press 1 if you have a question, and all you have to do is just ask your question or make your comment. You know what's interesting, Brother Coy, is that we don't oftentimes even think about our diet until, you know, it gets to a point where we actually have to change that diet to a living. You know, we don't think about it. You know, we grow, right, go into our 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, and not even think about the role that food plays in our life and in our health or lack thereof. So
yeah,
if you could talk about just the need to live holistic, you know, because, again, there are people that might have said, okay, you know I need to eat better. You know, I know that. I know that I need to, you know, cut back on certain things. Well, you know, you might need to do more than cut back on certain things. You might have to eliminate certain things. And if you're going to live a life free from physical ailments, and, of course, I say this knowing that, you know, you can get hit by a car. You can walk out and get, you know, you can be in a plane accident or something. But we don't have to die, and I'm sure, Coy, you will agree, of heart disease or, you know, something related to clogged arteries or, you know, high blood pressure or, you know, hydrogenitis, you know, which could possibly turn in to something else. Could you talk about just even the role of the role that food plays, and then even beyond that, even stuff that we take for granted, like the microwave, that's something that's a staple in so many people's homes. They use it and don't even think twice about radiating the food. Could you talk about those two things, the role of food in reversing this particular disease, hydrogenitis, and the role of the microwave as well, and the need to eliminate the microwave?
Well, the idea is that the whole process of the diet, you have to go back to kind of to how you were born and raised and how you kept what you believe about eating and what you've been taught about eating. Because if you were raised on a farm and you've grown up eating cabbage and, I mean, sausages and beef and pork and anything else you wanted to eat, it's hard for you to conceive that something is wrong with that, because that's what they're giving you to eat. If people love me, why would they give me something to hurt that would hurt me?
Mm-hmm.
So we got this false belief that we are in this process because it's okay. And if I get sick, it can't be because of what I'm eating. It's got to be because of something else. That's why I go to the doctor. Yeah, that's why I go to the doctor, and the doctor tell me that this is why I'm sick, and he gives me some medication, and I might feel better, and I go back and do the same thing. So no one ever really takes the time to explain the role and the importance of what we eat and even how we should eat and what we should eat. So we have this process of understanding, first of all, what the body really needs. And as a result, we have this if you consider all the evidence that we have in front of us, we understand that man should live on a plant-based diet. Now, if you wasn't raised that way, you're not going to hear that, and you don't want to hear that because you're going to continue to eat your pork or your chicken or whatever you like to eat and think it's okay. And you won't change until something comes along that'll make you change. In other words, once you get the understanding that it's about what you eat and how you eat it, all of the things that you put in your body, it will make some difference in terms of how you look at what you eat. You know, it's okay to, you know, eat a little cake or eat a little pork every now and then, you might be able to get away with it. But when you eat it to the point to where it's making you sick, where you got high blood pressure, you got diabetes, you're getting these boils, that's excessive, and that's almost like an addiction. So you have to treat it as an addiction, because it won't be easy to just change from believing what you believe and doing what you've been doing to doing what's right. That's most of our problems in life. We just not able to do that easily. You need some counseling. You need somebody to hold your hand, or somebody to go through it with you, or explain to you, and to get you to keep it in focus in front of you, that if you eat this, this is what's going to happen to you. And if we can get people to understand that, or to a point to where they can understand that for themselves, then maybe we can get them to understand why it is necessary that they should not have all of this candy in the closet and all of this meat in the freezer and all the other things that we do to kill ourselves, particularly if they are diagnosed with some condition like diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That would be more incentive for them to get rid of it after they are diagnosed with the condition and understand why they have the condition. But until they get to that place, it's going to be difficult to convince people to change much of anything of what they do, unless they really take the time and go to school or something. And even the schools don't teach you how to eat or what to eat. You would have to have some life-changing event that would get you to accept the fact that you need to do something different, and then understanding and getting the right educational assistance that you need to make sure that you are doing what you need to do correctly, and try for yourself to convince yourself that, yes, this works and this is what I'm going to do. And as for a microwave, we can go through the microwave process. I won't say it's no condition where you can that's appropriate to use a microwave. I won't say there's no condition, but there may be some cases you might want to use a microwave, maybe to heat up some water or something like that. But for cooking meals, no, I think that's over the border. But, you know, small, short uses of microwaves are probably acceptable and won't be any much harmful than cooking your food, because what you're doing when you cook food is heating up the water molecules in the food to get it to from being raw. You want to cook it. So whenever you heat it above 120 or, say, 120 degrees, if you heat anything above 120 degrees, you're going to do something to damage the DNA of that food, and it's not going to be the same, and it's going to probably wind up acidic. And that would hold for most any food, unless it's an herb or alkaline food, say, that you would probably have to understand. I think in the case of an alkaline or an alkaline food, it doesn't matter. It just changed forms. It's still alkaline, but when you cook it, it doesn't really make it an acidic food. So, but most of the foods that we encounter, if you heat it up over 120 degrees, it's dead anyway, and it's probably going to eventually kill you in the long run or cause some condition. You know, it's like eating dead food. There's no life in it, so why do you want to eat it if there's no life in it? Whether you cook it or it's microwaved or whatever, I don't think it's a big issue. It's probably a consideration if you're a vegan or trying to live a perfect life or something, but I don't think using a microwave is really going to make a lot of difference in whether or not you live or die at this point. You're just heating the water molecules in it. And it's probably a lot of research out there, and there's probably a lot of questions about that still. But they're both sides of the issue. Some people say it creates like a nuclear radiation in the body and all of that. But it's not enough radiation in microwave food to really cause any more damage to the body than cause when you take a stove and light a match and heat it on the fire. It's not that much difference in the food that you eat. The idea is you shouldn't be eating anything that you have to heat up. That's where you want to go with it. And you want to eat raw as much as you can. And if you cook, you just want to lightly steam it. So unless you're relying on your microwave to cook every meal that you eat, I don't think it's much you have to be concerned about. And I know, again, there are two sides to that, but in my opinion, it's no worse than coming up on a stove, you know, cooking your food on a stove to the point to where you kill it, cook all the nutrition out of your greens, cook the pork until it floats around in the pot. I mean, I don't see that being any different. If I eat that, it's going to be just as detrimental to me as eating a microwave food. So the idea is to not eat any cooked food.
That's interesting. That's very, very interesting because, you know, we've been taught that, you know, hey, let go of the microwave. And I would still, I'm going to err on the side of caution. I know you do it, but if you're just using the microwave to heat up a little bit of water, look, the microwave ain't but so big. It ain't going to hold but so much water anyway. So just throw that water in the pot and boil it.
Yeah.
Because if you got the microwave there, you're not gonna go out and buy a microwave just to heat some water. You know
That's
what I mean?
Correct.
So you're gonna if you got one, you're gonna be tempted to use it. You know. But I see your point. That's a very good point, King Coy, that if you're gonna cook the food over a particular temperature, and most people aren't going to stand there and get a thermometer to make sure that they're cooking the food at
or degree less
below the particular that you're talking about. So chances are, if you're cooking the food, you are cooking the nutrients out of the food, correct?
That's correct. In Africa, we didn't have stoves. We didn't need stoves. The stoves came out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's cold in the mountains and in the regions where they ate meat. But as African people, we didn't eat a lot of meat. We didn't need a lot of heat because we lived in paradise. And today, I would say it's the same. It's just that we have allowed the food supply that grew in Africa to be decimated or to be destroyed by capitalism or capitalists going in doing other stuff other than agriculture. But the places where you can find good food in Africa is still good food in Africa.
Well, I can hear somebody asking, well, Brother Coy, what's wrong with meat? You know, I've heard people say that, you know, vegetarian is better, you know, and vegan is even better than that. And people have told me that I shouldn't eat meat, that maybe I need to go vegan, but nobody's ever really broke it down and said why. You know, so if you could just share for somebody out there that might be listening, that might be on the fence to deciding whether or not they should go vegan or not, and, you know, what's wrong with meat?
What's wrong with meat? The meat that we eat today is different than the meat that was in even in the pre-1950, say. We didn't have a lot of chemicals or antibiotics or hormones that we used to increase the production of the crop. We didn't use that prior to 1950. All of this came along with the advent of the fast food chains that needed fresh chicken every second. So nowadays, the chickens are grown up and hatched and grown up in about 3 weeks. When we know that if you have a chicken and it takes more than 3 weeks for it to fully develop, maybe at least 8 to 8 months to a year for a chicken to fully develop, we are eating them at almost 8 days out of the egg. So they can't be the same as they were pre-1950. And we are using, because we grow them so fast and in such horrible conditions, we have to use a lot of antibiotics, a lot of chemicals, a lot of stuff that you wouldn't put on a plate and eat. The stuff that they use to raise these chickens and the pigs to a point to where they to market, which is about 3-4 weeks. The stuff they use to put in them, you would not put on a plate and eat if you were given that option. If somebody gave you a plate with all the stuff they put in the meat that you eat and put it in front of you and say, eat it, you say, yeah, I will not eat it. You won't eat it. And when they kill these animals, it's not like they have any compassion for them. They go in like a madman on the street with a hatchet and just start chopping up chickens and all of this the hormones and the adrenals, all of this stuff, they build up in this meat that you eat when you sit down at the table. All of this, it's like watching your mother being raped in front of you, or your dad being hung in front of you. You're not going to be the same, and all that's going to be in you. And when you eat that, you're going to pass it on.
Mm.
So there's two reasons you shouldn't eat the meat: because of the hormonal imbalance that they put in it, the chemicals that they put in the meat to raise it. And the third reason we shouldn't eat meat: most of the meat that we eat are parasites. Chicken is a big parasite. They eat anything. Pig is a parasite. They eat anything. Beef, you know, a beef is just expensive to raise. A beef eat a lot of the grass. It eats a lot of, and it gives off a gas in the atmosphere that harms the environment. And it takes a lot of food to get it fully developed to the point where it's ready to eat. So that's the third reason you shouldn't eat it. It's mostly a parasite, and we should not eat parasites. If you eat parasites, you're going to be a parasite. And maybe that's what's wrong with the world today. There's too many parasites in it. But that's the problem with meat. It interferes with the environment, and it's full of antibiotics. It's full of things that you would not eat if someone put it in a plate in front of you. You would not eat it. So you have to go back and understand that we are live enzyme organisms. We need live enzyme food, and so the best way to get that is through a plant-based diet. So if you want to stay or be or continue your healthy way of life or have a healthy way of life, then you should eat more plant-based grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, that kind of stuff. You should be eating, and you'll find that that's also a better way to maintain your health. So that's a little bit of the way
somebody,
we talk about. Yeah.
I can hear somebody saying, well, where am I getting my protein from then? You know, because we've been taught, of course, that, you know, that's the first thing people ask somebody if they tell them, listen, you know, I've decided I'm going vegetarian or vegan. The first question somebody will ask them is, well, where are you going to get your protein from?
If you're eating grains, nuts, beans, and seeds, you're going to get your protein. You don't have to worry about that. We are the only animal, really, that eat protein after we are babies. We don't need a lot of protein, really, unless if you want to be Hercules or something, you might want to pump up on protein. But just an average, normal person, as long as they eat a good plant-based diet, the green leafy vegetables, the beans, nuts, and seeds, you're going to get the protein that you need. Everything you need is in that category of foods, the plant-based diet. So if you eat enough of that, you'll get plenty of protein.
Well, can you talk about even then just the food preparation? Because somebody listening might be thinking, you know, just sitting around eating greens, nuts, beans, and seeds just don't, you know, they're not thinking about it from the standpoint of that you can take these grains, nuts, and seeds and make this into a wonderful, delicious dish. They might, when you say seeds, they thinking seeds, you know.
Yeah.
When you saying beans, they thinking beans, you know what I mean? When you thinking grain, they thinking grain, you know. They ain't thinking, okay, you can take these ingredients and make a meatloaf, or not a real meatloaf because it's not real meat, but you can make a loaf that tastes so much like meat that you would think you were eating meat if you weren't told otherwise. Could you talk
That's
about the
again
when people hearing grain, nuts, and seeds, they're like, I don't know if I want to, that don't sound too appealing.
Well, I mean, like you say, you'll find that once you – cooking is the same as anything else. We learn to cook because we eat meat. If we didn't eat meat, we wouldn't have to cook. So if we learn to eat raw and prepare raw, then and you'll find that it'll kind of come to you naturally if you have any kind of skills in the kitchen. You can take maybe the beans. You may want to cook them a little bit to get them soft enough so that you can eat them. But other than that, you can mix them up into different forms and maybe add a little a mix of like TVP or something, that's which is soil, or some other mix that you can get that will hold it together. Like there is falafel, like a falafel burger, I think it's made with chickpea. You get a chickpea, and you can get that chickpea to a point to where it's like a flour, and you can use that to hold the loaf together or to hold the burger together to a place to where you can actually bake it or fry it or cook it any way you like it, or you can just put it in a loaf, a raw loaf. If you prepare it properly, you can make it. You don't have to heat it or warm it or fry it. You can just eat it the way you mix it. It's all in how you mix it and fix it to hold together in terms of whether or not you're gonna get the taste and the fullness of the meat taste. Because you have to remember, the cow eat beans, the cow eat a plant diet, the pig eat pretty much a plant diet. So why can't you eat a plant diet? Why do you have to eat the pig to go through the plant diet? It's just wasting energy. Just eat what the pig eat or eat what the fish eat, and you won't have to go through the process of trying to transform something into something else. And just use the beans, greens, nuts, and seeds to create. But you get your blender, a juicer, and a food processor, and you can pretty much make anything that you want in terms of loaves or burgers or salads or all the things that we know we should be eating. You can use those things to bring it to a place to where it's palatable to your diet. And using the herbs and spices, you can make it taste like pretty much whatever you want to taste like. But it's just something you have to do. If you don't want to, or if you don't think you can stop eating meat, then you won't. But if you feel like it's something that you're compelled to do, then you'll get your juicer, a blender, and a food processor, and you begin to just follow some of the simple ideas they give you in the handbook. And from there, you'll find that things will kind of come to you naturally, and your first thing you know, you'll be creating your own dishes, and boom, you may be able to even package a burger and put it on the market or something, because people are looking for good, healthy, alternative foods to meat. And there's a market that really haven't been tapped, because so far the only options we are faced with is a lot of soy from China, and that's about it. If you have some other idea about how to make burgers or meat taste like plants taste like meat, then you're in a place where you may be able to create a whole nother market of food. If you can find an alternative to meat other than soy, you're in the money. That people will eat. People will have to eat it. But this is possible, and it's a whole market there that's waiting for people to some people to go in and explore that market. And I would encourage people to look at that. If you think you have a good product, you know, put it out there. See what it's going to do. Mm-hmm. And if it works, get some people together, invest in it, and package it, put it in the Whole Foods or wherever you want to, whatever store would take them, and see if people buy them. That's the capitalism. That's what we have to learn how to do to survive in this time.
Well, you know, Brother Quay, it's so interesting because, you know, I think when people they go to the doctor, and the doctor gives them their report, and the doctor, like, for example, the disease we're talking about or the condition we're talking about, hidradenitis, I guess it's superativa, however you pronounce that.
Sativa.
You know, okay, sativa. So the person now is faced with choices. Okay, the doctor is saying this. The doctor is saying this is what I have. Chances are, you know, the doctor haven't told them how they got it. Just tell them that, okay, your symptoms, we run tests. This is what you got. You know, this is what we prescribe. And the person now has choices to make, okay? Do I go down this road that the doctor is prescribing that I go down? Now, the doctor's already told me I don't know much about this condition, you know.
Yeah.
Now, do I follow the advice of somebody that doesn't know much about the condition, you know what I
yeah.
mean? Or now, you know, do I go and talk to somebody, like, again, people can pick up the phone and call you, you know, if they have a
yeah.
question about, you know, this interview, they know they can
yeah.
come to you and they can, you can point them in the right direction. You can point them to, you know, where they can get information if you don't have the
yeah.
information yourself. But could you talk about that, just the choices, that because people are afraid, and pain will make you do stuff that you ordinarily wouldn't do. If you're in pain and the doctor tells you, take this, you know what I mean, and you're like, will it stop the pain? Even if he say,
yeah.
I don't know, it might. You know,
yeah.
you liable, you desperate, you know what I mean? You might be like, okay, go ahead, give it to me. How much? How
yeah.
much I take,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, it's used to happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
could you
no,
talk
you
about
don't.
Just to even explore other options, because the doctors aren't in the habit of getting rid of conditions. They're just helping you or might give you something to have you come back and get some more. And before you know it, you hooked on something that got side effects. Could you talk about that?
Well, you should always consider the source whenever you hear anything or decide about anything, because, first of all, you're going to the person that's telling you usually going to have some kind of motive in terms of getting you to buy a product or to get you to sell their product so that you can so that they can make more money or get some recognition that they would not otherwise get unless they convince you to participate in what they tell you you should be participating in. So you don't want to get caught up in. You always consider the source. And when we say that, we mean consider what's in it for them and why they asking you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like it's something that you want to do, that you can actually accept and it will benefit you, then that's when you do it. So it's always a quid pro quo, I guess, when someone is trying to tell you what you should do about your condition. But the idea is to always check it out. You have to do your own research. Don't take anything anyone tells you by just because you like them or because they are
really
got a black suit on or whatever. You don't take what they say as gospel. You go and check it out, and you make your own decisions. And that's the best way you can prevent being a doctor or anyone else telling you something and you doing it and not being sure whether or not this is really what you ought to do. You have to do your homework. You have to check it out. Pull up the Google or pull it up on Google or ask your neighbor, call anyone that might know and willing to talk to you about it and get different sides of the story and why people say what they say. And then you make your decisions. You don't really do anything just because one person tell you, and I think that's where we sometimes fall short, because we oftentimes don't take the time to do the research or to understand exactly what that paragraph mean in a contract that we sign. We don't take the time to really delve into it and understand what those words mean, and that's what we have to be conscious of before you make any decision. You have, unless you sit down and go through the whole process in your mind so that it makes sense to you, then you shouldn't do anything. You should just stay where you are or continue to look so you can find someone that can explain to you what's going on with you. The bottom line is you really have to take it upon yourself to understand what people are telling you and why they're telling you, and make a decision on what their motivation is and decide whether or not you want to participate in what they're saying. That's really what you got to do.
Brother Coy, phone lines are lit. Somebody wants to talk to you. Can you hold one second? Let me get them on. Okay. 4356, welcome to Juwanza for Life. Great to have you. Hi.
Hi. Juwanza, it's Renee. Very quick
statement
and then a question. And by the way, I went to see Coy last week. So, Coy, I'm doing what you told me.
Oh, yeah? Now you're on the right track. Now, you're a smart woman.
I'm on the right track. a statement
all right.
with regards to educating
yes,
yourself and being persistent. My daughter decided that they were going to be vegan, and my grandson is allergic to peas, beans, and nuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's that was a very huge obstacle for her.
Yeah,
but she stuck with it and learned to do some stuff. And you saw him the other day, strapping young man. So
yeah.
he's not missing out on anything. And but it was her perseverance that found something that he could, you know, acclimate himself to and still keep that vegan lifestyle up. And that's what you have to do, be committed to it.
Yeah, that's correct.
And
that's what it is.
You have to educate yourself and be committed to it, and there is something. But the question I had was, what's the difference between a boil and a cyst?
Well, that's a good question. it's really not. A cyst can be inside. Most cysts come oftentimes, they are inside. Boils are usually comes from your hair follicles or some kind of eliminative organ out of the skin. And it's I think they're both carried by some kind of staph fungus. And I would say cysts have a greater play in the body. A cyst can, you know, you can have ovarian cysts. It doesn't have to breathe to the outside. A boil generally prevents the skin from breathing to the outside, so it clogs up and it can be unclogged and you can be okay. But a cyst, generally, you have to go in and not much you can do to it other than try to keep it from growing and try to shrink it. Usually, you don't generally cut it out, a cyst, but a boil you can actually lance. Simple explanation, but without getting too complicated, I would say something along that line.
And do cysts harden where boils might not harden?
Well, boils will harden more so than a cyst. Cysts are usually
a
pocket of pus or a pocket of water, usually. And they occur inside the body. They generally don't occur outside of the body. They usually occur inside of the body. And they usually just full of fluid. They don't get too hard. The boils will get hard because it's blocking airways out of the body. And the cysts are usually contained in the body, and they usually come from the bloodstream and the immune system. And that's another way of maybe distinguishing them. A cyst, I would say, would be more out of the immune system. A boil would be more out of the blood system.
Okay.
Wow, well, great to hear your voice, Queen Renee. Wow, what a surprise.
I know.
It's been a while.
It's been hard, Juwanza, but I'm hanging in there.
Well, you got the right man on your side. You got, well, you know what I'm talking about. I got, you know, King Coy, you got, of course, God, but, you know, I trust you with King Coy. I trust you with God, too, but I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
You know.
I do know what you're saying. And I went by to see him the other day, and I was so glad that I had the opportunity to come. And I'm glad I'm doing what you told me to. But
your balance is better.
This thing. Huh?
How did your balance come out? Your balance is okay? To get better?
It seems like it's getting better, yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just happy because I'm not trying to take that medicine at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I like
but
a good
I'm,
report.
Mm-hmm, but I'm balancing it, and that's all that matters.
Okay.
You know.
Let's keep at it.
Yeah.
It'll work it out.
It will. I asked about the cyst because I had what they thought was a sebaceous cyst on my spine, and it turned out to be a sarcoma.
Mm-hmm.
And they only knew it after they had removed it and sent it out for pathology, and it came back malignancy, you know. And so I was like, so many people think that boils are harmless and cysts are harmless because that's what the doctor told me. He said, we just need to just lance it, and it'll be okay, you know.
But I think most doctors
don't know. When you go to these people, could you take Coy with you?
I mean, if the doctor don't know, how am I supposed to know?
That's exactly right. You know, I understand it, and I think they take educated guests sometimes, and they're not as educated as they think they are. And you have to be your own advocate and everything, you know.
Yeah, you got to speak up. If you don't speak up, they'll cut you up. Yeah,
they sure will. And, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, mine turned out fine after, you know, the determination as to what it actually was, you know.
And
the reason I asked, too, is because I had a friend who had the same kind of sarcoma in her leg, and they told her it was probably just a cyst or a boil or something, and she let it go for such a long time, and she ended up passing from it because by the time they determined what it was metastatic already, and nothing they could do. So
we
can't just take
these
lumps for granted.
Yeah, and they may appear small on the outside, but down under there, it can be a lot of stuff still sticking under there,
Exactly.
In the middle of the whole process, and you really have to know how to talk to your doctor to get them to check the right thing. But
exactly. Well, it was good talking to you all.
I'm so glad, Queen Renee, that you not just for yourself, but for your family, everybody's getting involved, and that's so important, just to have just that support system going on, because if you're the only one in the family trying to do this, and it's so much easier when you have other people that not only understand what you're doing and support you and what you're doing, but are willing to jump in there with you, even with Coy and Coy's mother. Coy jumped in there with her, and as a result, King Coy got rid of his boils, you know. So it's awesome.
We took the whole crew in to see Coy last week. Crew was
fine-looking family,
Wow.
Appreciate the opportunity to meet him.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting over here getting choked up, Queen Renee. Really here. Got your family over there to see King Coy.
Yes,
Queen Coy, before we go, can you talk about consistency? Because, you know, for a lot of people, somebody might be listening to this show, and they heard about it. They've heard about holistic health. They said, I'm willing to give it a try. And, you know, we're talking about a lifestyle change here, you know, and the best way to see results is to keep doing it. You got to stick with it. Isn't that right, Brother Coy?
That's correct. I guess it's like breaking a habit, breaking an addiction. It takes about 21 days. Once you get through 21 days of doing the right thing, you can pretty much stay on that track. But oftentimes we still need to be reminded of, supported through the process so that we don't fall back. So, being consistent and making up your plan, staying with it. You can't be too busy. You can't be too stressed out because you won't be able to be consistent. So when you get to a place to where you can kind of have control of your time, then that's when you want to start a process of maybe changing from a meat eater to a vegan or a vegetarian. And you give yourself enough time, the 21 days, to actually plan what you're going to do those 21 days so you don't fall off and go back to do something else. And after that, you should find that would be enough consistency to kind of keep you in the right direction. Not that you'll be perfect, but it won't be like you'll go all the way back to where you come from once you know why you need to change and go through the process of changing. Your chances are you'll hang in there with it. So being consistent is real important, and making a plan so that you don't fall off the way is important. Yeah.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. I heard somebody say once, I interviewed somebody, and they said, if you don't know what you're going to eat for the day, before the day starts, if you don't know what you're going to eat that day and you're trying to make the transition, they say, you're going to fall. you're going to slip back.
You
have it all mapped out. Okay, today I'm eating this, you know, but if you're just trying to just through the day and say, okay, I'm making the transition. I'm just not going to eat no meat today. You know, chances are you might not be successful. So if you just want to increase your odds of success, and especially during the time you're making a transition, have a plan, like Coy just mentioned. You got to have a plan. Have it mapped out. Have it already, you know, laid out what you're going to eat, because it makes it so much easier to be successful, you know, if you have a plan. Brother Coy, please, for those people who heard Queen Renee say, you know, she brought her whole family by, and they're like, shoot, I want to get by here. How do they, what's your hours of operation, your address, and telephone number for those who want to get by and see you?
I'm still 8 to 6 every day but Sunday. On Saturday sometimes I take off, but at least 5 days a week I'm open from 8 to 6. If you're coming on the weekend, just make arrangements. I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20032. That's 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest. That's coming off of 495 at 210 North. And the phone number is 202-562-0041. And you can call any time if you no one answers or if you don't get anybody. Just leave a message. Someone will get back to you within the next morning or so. But don't give up. Keep trying and come by and see me. I'd love to see you. And if there's any considerations you got, we can talk about it. So,
Brother, got an awesome establishment. It's called Secrets of Nature. And he sells herbal products, different herbs. You still sell the bulk loose herbs, King Coy?
That's the people are just finding out about them. I can't, oh, man, they're hot, yeah.
all right.
Now
all
you
right.
can hardly find them, though. They're getting very scarce. The FDA is getting involved in them, and they're trying to take anything that will help you off the market. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. So if you have any inroads to bulk herbs, it's a good idea to solidify them and make sure that you can get them, because it's going to be the only thing that is going to save you, I think, the bulk herbs.
And Queen Renee, you still with us?
Yes.
All right. Could you tell the listeners about Coy's establishment, the Secrets of Nature?
It's like going into your mother's kitchen. You know, the kitchen is the heart of who we are. We often gather in the kitchen and do so. And you're just there. It's so comfortable. They're so engaging. And it's just, the atmosphere is just so friendly and inviting. And I just didn't want to leave.
Yeah. So when you come, be prepared to stay. Yeah, so we got that's how that works.
I'm serious.
And what other store do you don't know of that when you go into, you feel like you're walking into your mother's kitchen and you don't want to leave? that's a beautiful explanation, and it's so accurate. And you're going to see, you're going to run into family up in there, too. You're going to run into other people.
Yeah, you're going to meet somebody you know, probably.
And the people that are your regulars, they were talking to us, and they were trying to educate us and tell us. Like, they said, no, this is what you need. Get the, and everybody is just, it's just like home.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That Secrets of Nature, everybody, in Washington, D.C. The phone number there again is 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. Again, wherever you are in the world, Coy can ship whatever you need. If you just, you know, you can't find something in your particular area, you definitely give King Coy a call, and he can ship whatever you need to you. Brother Coy, this has been a fabulous interview, and I'm like Queen Renee, not wanting to leave the store. I don't want to get off the phone.
I know this.
So I'm going to thank you, because I don't want to be selfish. Queen Renee, see, this is such a family thing here. Queen Renee is my sister. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, this is just love this lady. And I just want to say thank you so much. Great to hear your voice, Queen Renee.
Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate all the people that have assisted me during these times. And keep doing what you're doing so I can keep doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Everybody, make sure you get by and see King Koi. That's Secrets of Nature. And phone number there is 202-562-0041. Brother Koi, thank you, my brother. Queen Renee, always. You got my jaws hurting from grinning so much. Thank you for calling in, my sister. Great to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
Everybody, my name is Juwanza. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Brother Koi, again, is a regular on our show. He comes on once a month, and we talk about it of holistic health. And we're just very, very blessed and honored to have somebody on, you know, a regular on who has dedicated their life to helping people get better. It's unfortunate if you find yourself in a position where, you know, for whatever reason, your body's breaking down or has broke down or the doctors have given you a bad report, but all is not lost, okay? God has placed in our midst someone who knows the body, okay, who has a track record that is unbelievable, okay, and he's willing to assist you. All you have to do is just pick up the phone and call 202-562-0041. The doctor told you got cancer, call 202-562-0041. Doctors told you got hidradenitis, call 202-562-0041. Whether it's arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, gout, whatever it is, heart trouble, call this number, 202-562-0041. We're not recommending or pushing a particular product. We're pushing a particular lifestyle. If you can change your lifestyle, you can change your condition. So until the next time, Brother Koi, thank you so much, my brother.
I appreciate you, sir, and good evening to your audience.
Thank you. I'll be in touch. Queen Renee, thank you, my sister. It's been an honor to hear your voice again, my sister. I bow to you and to everybody. Thank you so much for your emails. Thank you so much for letting me know what it is that you're finding helpful about the show. And to those who are just tuning in for the very first time, you can actually leave me a message through the show, through Blog Talk. You can actually follow the show. That way, if you follow the show, then whoever's coming on, you'll be notified that individual is coming on, and you can prepare to tune in. Also, you can check out the archives. Oh, my God, we've got archives that's out of this world. You scroll down the archives, you're into spirituality, we've got shows for you. If you're into health, of course, we've got shows for you. If you're an entrepreneur, we've got shows for you. And we've got some new shows that new series is coming up that I'll let you know a little bit more about it as we get closer to actually starting those series. But they're going to be in our wealth segment. Okay, because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of spiritual people, hate to say it, but a lot of spiritual people are broke. Okay, but you don't have to be broke and spiritual. You can have wealth. You can be wealthy. You can have financial success as well. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Okay, it can be both. That's all three. That's why the show is called Health, Wealth, and Divine. That's what we talk about, okay? So until the next time, everybody, my name is Juwanza. Who am I? I am the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Until the next time, peace.